Father, we thank you for this evening, and Lord, I thank you for Pastor Craig and the work that he does for your kingdom and for this church. Lord, we pray that you would bless him and his family. We thank you for this opportunity to have him share out of your word tonight, and we pray your blessing and anointing upon him, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you'd turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 18. It's a familiar passage to all of us. I'm sure many of you heard it numerous times. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 18. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And tonight, that's what I desire to do. I desire to comfort you with these words from Scripture and the truth that it brings forth. We all know some of the situations that we've been in this past month with the attack on our country on September 11th, killing, I don't even know what the count is now, approximately 5,000 some people. And then the fact that the terrorists said that, you know, we will, as Americans, never truly feel freedom or liberties like we used to. And then with the situations we have now with the anthrax outbreaks of, I don't know, they don't say it's terrorists yet, but I'm assuming that it's terrorists sending this around to people in our country. And these events have caused great distress amongst many people. I know people that have told me that they haven't been able to sleep like they used to be able to sleep with that calm freedom that we have. They've had nightmares or bad dreams. And I'd be lying to you if I didn't say that I was in somewhat concerned also. I have friends and I have family. And for someone not to be concerned about their friends and family, I mean, you'd be an idiot. So I also have been concerned in certain ways. None of us desire that our friends or family are injured in any way. And a person can sacrifice their own life, but they hate to sacrifice the lives of those that they love. And I'm sure that many of you have the same concerns that I have, because I know that you have friends and family. But I just want tonight to encourage you, and through this message that God has given me, and let you know that through the preparing of this message, God has encouraged me. He's truly shown me there's nothing to be concerned with, that he has everything in control, and no matter what, good things are going to happen for us as Christians. No matter what happens to us, God has worked it out for the good. And tonight I'm going to speak a little on Christ's return, but mostly on spending time with him in eternity and how eternity with Christ provides great hope for the future and for the present situation that we're in. That we have hope for the future, but also for the present situation. And I pray this hope of eternity with Christ encourages us to continue the journey to the very end, and that it would challenge us to redirect the eternity of others. We desire to continue to the end, but at the same time, redirect eternity of others. First, I want to focus tonight on the fact that eternity provides a future hope and expected experience with Christ. A future hope and expected experience with Christ. In Mark 10:17, Jesus was confronted with a rich young ruler, and it says there that, And when he had gone forth unto the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? This rich young ruler realized that eternal life was something that he would eventually receive. It was his inheritance. Some of us may eventually receive an inheritance, whether it's small, whether it's great, but it's something that we will receive at the end of our lives are at the end of someone's life. It is a final prize, something that will take place in the future. We too commonly think of eternity in this way, something that we will grasp at some time or another. At funerals, we hear people, ministers, speaking of the fact of the deceased entering into eternity at the moment that they died. And also Matthew 19, 27 through 29 shows another example of eternal life as a future reality. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye shall sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or fathers, or mothers, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit eternal life. Jesus said that everyone that does this shall inherit eternal life. The future hope of eternal life with Christ is one of the major reasons in which Christians can endure some of the trials and the struggles that we go through. The final inheritance to all those who are in Christ Jesus. Inheritance beyond inheritances keeps us going. Paul in 1 Corinthians 9:24 calls it a prize. Something that we will eventually receive if we continue the race that we're on. So what is the prize? What is this prize, this eternity that the Bible speaks of and I'm encouraging you with tonight? There's a few things, and these are some subheadings under this first main point. What is the prize? Number one, the promise of Christ's return. Acts 1:11 says, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven today. The imminent return of Christ is our blessed hope. The fact that Christ is going to come back and that he is going to receive unto himself his church, which is made up of those that believe in him, have trusted their faith in him, both dead and alive, the rapture of the church. We sing it, What a day that shall be when my Jesus I shall see. And that blessed hope that we have. And number two, the resurrection of the dead. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, The dead in Christ shall rise first. Because of this truth, we know that we shall see our friends and family again that have physically died. We all know it's hard to say goodbye to the ones that we love, and we never like to be separated for very long from those that we care about. I remember Brother and Sister Swanson, Arnold and Minda Thompson, Lawrence Lynch, Alice Abbott, Phyllis Gramble, just to name a few of those that have gone before us from this church, and ones that we love. And I know in your mind right now you're thinking of friends and family that you have lost throughout the past, grandparents, brothers, sisters. There is a hope that we have, and that we will see them again. We shall meet them again, and there will be no more death. I just want to encourage you with that tonight, and the family reunion and the fellowship that we are going to have with those people when we see them again. I mean, we enjoy our family reunions now, but imagine the fact that when we see these people who have been dead physically and we meet them in the air, it's going to be an amazing thing. Number three, the prize is that we will be with the Lord forever. Never to depart from him, but to dwell in his presence forever. Now we desire to have God's presence in our lives. I mean, we desire to seek God's face. We desire to know him and to have his presence in our life. But imagine the day when God's presence will be with us forever. And he will be there next to us. Revelation 21, verse 33. But first of all, let me say this. This will not be a quantity time only with God, but this would be a quality time. We're going to spend eternity with Christ. But not only are we going to spend eternity with Christ, it is going to be a quality time of eternity with Christ. Not only be with our Redeemer, but we will have eternal fellowship with Christ and God, the Godhead. Revelation 21:33, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." God himself will be with us. 21:33. I must have wrote it down wrong. I'll get it for you afterward. Maybe I added a few extra in my Bible. I must have wrote it down. I apologize. Wrote it down wrong. I apologize. But it's there. Actually, 21, probably 13 is what it is. No, it isn't. Either way. Verse 3? Okay, I typed an extra 3. Revelation 21, verse 3. It's there. God himself shall be with us. And number 4, God will provide a new heaven and an earth. Again, in Revelation 21, if you want to turn there with me, I'll read the whole chapter so I don't mess it up this time. Turn to Revelation chapter 21. And while I'm reading this, I just challenge you to look through this and kind of pick out some of the things that we have to look forward to. I'm going to reiterate them and point them out to you also, but when we go through this, just look in there and see some of the glorious things that we have to look forward to. "And I saw a new heaven and earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." There it is. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, and the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the fire, in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that walked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs, and the length of the breadth and the height are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, and 140 and 4 cubits, according to the measure of a man, which is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, and the tenth chrysoprase, and the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, and it was transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, and there shall be no night. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall be no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. New heaven and earth. I don't know about you, but it sounds like a nice place. It's just like a nice walk in the park, only better. No, it is going to be a beautiful place. I mean, think of the things that God had described there for us. And in that new heaven and earth, 2 Corinthians 5:1 promises us that we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven not built by human hands. And in John 14:2-3, Jesus himself promises to prepare a place for us. I don't know about you, but I want to live in the house that Jesus built. I know Pastor and Debbie's house is one nice place to live. I mean, it is a beautiful house. But it does not compare to the place that God is preparing for us. That mansion that is not built by human hands, but is built by the hands of God. I know some of us are kind of creative, but I know God is much more creative than we are. And I know that the house that he builds for us is not going to fall down in 50 years like houses nowadays do, but it's going to last forever. Number 6, there will be no more pain and sorrow and no more crying. In fact, God himself will wipe away all our tears. Number 7, there will be security. The mere size of the walls of the city suggests security. Not only that, God himself will be there with us. And also, all others that do bad things will not be there because their eternal home will be in the lake of fire. So there will be security. There will not be that fear of something happening to us, but there will be that security that we long for. There will be streets of gold, transparent as glass, as well as precious stones. Beautiful. Revelation 22:5 says, there will be no night, and also we read, there is no need for the sun or the moon because the glory of God illuminates the city. I wonder if you can get a suntan from God's illumination. Either way, you probably won't get a sunburn, so I know it's going to be beautiful. Number 10, we have lived with a curse since the original sin, but Revelation 22:3 says that there will be no more curse. I don't know if there will be no more tilling the ground and raising up of thistles. And I don't have a clue if there's childbirth there or not, but if there is, there will be no pain in that, and so on and so forth. The original curse that we have will be no more. Number 11, we will actually see God, and his name shall be written on our foreheads, signifying that we will be his forever. Though today we are prone to wander, when Christ returns, we will no longer wander. We will remain his forever. Number 12, we shall have glorified bodies, much like that of when Christ's resurrection. We will have glorified bodies. The arthritis, the pain that we feel will no longer be there. I know many of us, Bob has just had surgery this week. I mean, the fact of having glorified bodies, when you're young, you don't really care if you have glorified bodies. But even when you get older like me, and hey, I start to feel the pain. You're getting older, you want that glorified body, and God has promised that for us. Number 13, we shall know all things and understand why certain things happen in our lives. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says we know in part, but then we'll be fully known, or we will know fully even as we are fully known. And we will understand certain things that we didn't quite understand now, and why God did things the way he did it. But God will just reveal things to us, and we will know things that we need to know. Number 14, and for those of us who have given everything, spent and tired, I know my dad will like this, he shall give us rest. And that is just an amazing thing, to be able to just have rest. Not the rest where you go down and take a nap, but the rest without the stress, and just the pure rest. Obviously, this is not an exhaustive list by any means, but God has truly promised us wonderful things for the future. And how can we not continue to receive that prize? And I just encourage you tonight to continue. How can we not continue to receive this prize? I mean, this is not a trophy of our standard that we would think of. This is a prize that we should truly desire and look forward to eternity. But besides the future hope of eternal life, I believe we can experience some of the benefits of eternal life right now. God has given us so much to live for even today. And I believe the Bible teaches us this. I think you would probably agree with me that eternal life for a Christian eternal life in Christ begins at the moment we accept Christ into our hearts. I believe right now that we are eternal beings, that in fact, eternal life, if you want to be specific, probably begins at conception. Because these bodies will wear out, but our spirits live on forever. And the fact is when we accept Christ, we are eternally going to be with him. Before Christ, we were walking dead men, condemned to eternal separation from God. But John 5:24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." The one who believes, and Joan clarified the other day that believe means more than just believing, but it's trusting and committing. The one who believes, trusts, and commits themselves to Christ is not condemned and has passed from death to life. Let me be specific here, though, in saying that that does not mean that you cannot walk away from that eternal life that you have been given, because you can. We choose to have that eternal life in Christ Jesus by trusting and obeying him, and we can lose that eternal life at any moment in time if we walk away from his will. So when I say that we have eternal life with Christ, I am not saying that you can do anything you want and have eternal life with Christ. I'm saying that if you're walking in God's will, you will have eternal life in Christ. Even this day, you will have eternal life with Christ. Eternal life is only a present reality for those who trust and walk in the will of God. But for those who do, God has given us some wonderful gifts and promises for today. Through Jesus, we already have been adopted into God's family. We are God's sons and daughters. Romans 8:14-17 says, "Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the Spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs to God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory." Being sons and daughters of God, we have many privileges today for us. Many things that we can have access to. And it's just like if you're the son or daughter of a wealthy man or a woman, that they provide for you. They take care of you. You're usually not in need. And being sons and daughters of God has its privileges. Number one, Jesus didn't abandon us when he went to prepare a place for us, but he gave us his Holy Spirit. One gift that I know that I don't think I can live without is the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to live the life that Jesus has commanded us to live. The Holy Spirit comforts us in life's struggles until Jesus Christ comes back. Number two, Jesus has promised himself that he would never leave us or forsake us. That means now, not just when he comes back. He is here with us, and he is in our presence and in our midst. He said he'd never leave us or forsake us. Number three, he has promised to give us hope and a future. We just talked about that future and that hope that we have. We have, number four, we have now through Jesus an abundant life that is full of blessings. What are some of those blessings we have? We have protection. God sends his angels to protect us. He takes care of our needs. He provides for the sparrow. He provides for us. He gives us clothing, shelter. He gives us a wonderful home and vehicles. He gives us a church, an excellent pastor. He gives us friends and families. I mean, the blessings go on and on of what God has given us even today. Number five, we have provision for the healing of our bodies provided through Christ. You maybe have heard me say in the past, I know the youth have, that the ultimate healing is when we get our glorified bodies in heaven. That is the ultimate healing. These bodies are meant to decay. But in the meantime, God, as he chooses, does heal us. And this is just gives us a glimpse of someday what it's going to be like in our glorified bodies with him. But he made the provision of healing of our bodies. Number six, God gives us direction in which to live our lives now. Everything we need to live, God has provided in his word, and he directs us by his Holy Spirit and through that word. God didn't just leave us on this earth to tough it out by ourselves, but he has given us life today. He has given us everything we need today to live that life. We live in expectation of the future, but at the same time, we live knowing that God is providing for us even yet today. He has given us life now through his Son and by his Spirit. And all these daily promises are a glimpse of our future hope, but living within us today. So friends and family, tonight I want you to be encouraged. I want you to take these promises that God has given you and be encouraged. Don't lose heart. So often when we see struggles and hard times, and besides just the terrorist act, I mean, we go through hard times each day. We have struggles financially and physically and emotionally. 2 Corinthians 4:14 through 18 says, "Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, rebound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far and more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." We have blessed hope with Christ's return. We have this promise that he is going to come back. He is going to grab his church, the dead and the alive. And together we will be with him and have eternal life with him. And we have gifts in our life right now, both of which give us so much to live for and to look forward to. And then in this time of trouble in our lives, may we not forget what we have and what we have to come. Faint not. Though your affliction be for a while, it's only going to be... Though you have affliction, it's only going to be for a moment. And if you think about eternity, I mean, what is that small affliction when it comes to eternity with God? It is nothing. But I don't want to just leave here tonight with you just being encouraged. I mean, I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be excited about the present time that we live in. And I want you to be excited about the future that we have in Christ. But what shall this present and future hope cause us to do then? What should it cause us to do? What should this encouragement that we have cause us to do? It should cause us to live every day to the fullest. When I did Samuel's baby dedication, I read the scripture about God's having our days ordained for us before they have even began. And that doesn't mean that we can just sit by and do nothing, but that means we are limited in the time that we have. And what are we doing with the time that we have? Let us live each day to the fullest, whatever that may mean to you in the life that you live. May you live it to the fullest. It should cause us to examine ourselves each day for sin. It should cause us to reevaluate what's important in life and our motives for doing things. In everything we do, we should figure out the eternal value of it. What is the eternal value of what I am doing today? What is the eternal value of what I'm spending my money on? What is the eternal value of what I'm saying? Are we doing things for personal gain, or is it for the furthering of the kingdom of God? It's stuff we need to ask. Why are we doing what we do? It should cause us to be excited about the things to come and not fearful of the future, because we know already what happens. Read your Bible. We know what happens. I mean, we should be excited about what's happening. I mean, not that we desire lives to be lost or anything like that. We don't. And that's why we need to examine our days to the fullest. But be excited in the fact that our redemption draws near. I mean, it is coming close. And it should cause us to desire to tell everyone we can about the hope that we have within us. And this is a major thing. It should cause a desire within us to, if we know the time is coming near, what are we doing with that time? Is it causing excitement within us to share with others and say, hey, you can have this hope that I have. I know that everything's going to be all right. You don't have to worry if you have Christ. I mean, we need to be excited in the fact that people are asking questions. People want to know why, hey, you know, how come you're sleeping good at night? Well, I'm sleeping good at night because I know that Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and I know that no matter what happens, I'm going to be home with Him. And take courage tonight. Don't let the small afflictions bother you that much, because we do have hope. But at the same time, evaluate your life. Think about what you should be doing, what you can be doing, and what God desires for you to be doing. And that's basically what I have for you. And I just pray that through this, maybe you've been encouraged somewhat tonight. I don't know what the plan is now, but go ahead, Pastor. I just pray that you wouldn't leave here tonight without asking those questions to yourself. You know, what are you doing with the time that you have? Are you living it to the fullest? And, you know, you can take that to be the wrong way too, because the worldly standard of living to the fullest is not the godly standard of living to the fullest. And spending time with our friends and our family and sharing Christ with others, those are the important things in life. You know, it's nice to have nice things, and I'm one that likes nice things. But in the long run, what's the eternal value of what we're doing?
Some people say, oh, he or she is just so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. You ever heard that?
Yeah.
You know what? If people are really heavenly minded, they do a lot of earthly good. And so I think that's kind of a misnomer, a misstatement. And so I would encourage you to think about heaven, what heaven's going to be like. Focus, concentrate on the eternal. That's really what's important. You know, there's two things that are eternal. You know what those two things are? God's Word Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will never pass away, and the souls of men. Those two things are eternal. And so where do you think our focus should be? On those two things, right? God's word and the souls of men. So if we could focus on that, we could do great things. We're doing what the Lord wants us to do. I think at this point, we'll just see if there's any testimonies. Anybody have a testimony or maybe like to share what the Lord is doing in your life, or maybe you'd like to share how the message tonight encouraged you, or something that you got out of the message tonight that would be a benefit to you. So any testimonies? I know you're probably not really thinking of that at this point, but let's do that.
Well, I'm thankful for that message, because driving over here, I was thinking if we were asking for testimonies, I wanted to thank the Lord for what he's done in my dad's life. A lot of you know he has terminal cancer, but he also has eternal life.
Amen.
And the doctors don't even know why he's still alive. He has liver cancer, it's metastasized in his lungs, and he can drive, he can still walk somewhat. He and my mom are having this almost a honeymoon under the cross.
Great.
And it's just beautiful. And it's wonderful. He has terminal cancer, but he has eternal life.
Yes.
So I'm so thankful that the Lord did that.
That's great. George?
A friend of ours that died of cancer several years ago said the doctors told him he was terminal. He said, that's okay, that means I'm at the station. That's what the terminal is all about. It's just a place to leave from. It's interesting in verse 8 of chapter 21, but the fearful, that's the first one that's mentioned in this list of those that won't be there. The fearful. I thought, how many people just are living in fear all the time? Just why do we have to be afraid? God is, after all, in control. I wasn't here this morning. I got here late. My mom is turning 80 in November. So my siblings had a birthday, surprise birthday party for her this morning at a restaurant. And at the party, she was telling me, I mentioned this to a couple of people this morning, she is one of 12 or 13 children, and she's not real close to the top of them. She's got a sister, one sister that is 10 years older, and there's several in between them. And she was telling me, she's laying in bed last night, thinking, you know, for the last 10 years, we have taken Anne, that's her older sister, her siblings, my mom and her other siblings that live in Phoenix area, when my aunt has a birthday. The last 10 years, they've taken my aunt out for her birthday. And she said, I was laying in bed last night thinking, it'd be so fun to be able to share or to spend or have a birthday party for my 80th birthday with my family. And she didn't pray about it. And I was thinking, you know, was the Lord just telling her ahead of time? I don't know, you know, but it just was interesting that just last night she was thinking this. She walks into this restaurant and there's about 50 people sitting there. And they're all her children, grandchildren, sisters-in-law, nieces and nephews, great-grandchildren. You know, this is her family. And she got to spend a birthday party for her 80th birthday with her family. And I just thought that was really sweet of the Lord to do that for her. To kind of tell her last night, you know, wouldn't it be fun to be able to do that? Guess what? Tomorrow you're going to do that. So it was a blast.
Mary?
We're talking about our family. I was blessed the other night. Kenny and I often do scripture, audio, and with our book. And I came home from work. I had worked a long, whole day. I ate supper, and it was 8 o'clock. The TV was on. Kenny was in the easy chair. My husband was in the easy chair. And I went to Kenny, and I said very quietly, Kenny, I'll set up the cards and we'll make a new scripture. He goes, Mom, it's too late to do scripture. And I didn't feel like having a fight that night, so I walked away and I felt mad. And then I thought, don't feel mad. Remember what Pastor said. He gave a sermon a couple weeks ago about if my people, which are called by my name, and he said, obedience and sacrifice. I thought, it's time for my sacrifice. I'll come home from work a 12-hour day. I will not eat supper. I'll say, Kenny, it's time to do scripture. And then after the scripture, I'll have my supper. Anyway, I heard a knock on the master bedroom door, and Kenny had his chair and his Bible. He says, okay, Mom, I'm going to do scripture with you, a half hour. He says, oh, Kenny, good. Did Dad send you in here? He goes, no.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Yeah.
You know, only 16-year-olds, you know, you just couldn't kind of whisper from time to do scripture. Now, here they come, ready to do 45 minutes or a half hour. And I said, let me kiss you. Give me the top of your head. And put my hand on one side of his head and kiss the top of his head. And I went, oh, I'm so blessed tonight. And another thing, that same night when I got home, Leroy was telling me that he was going to wear his suit to school on Halloween. And how that happened, his big brother was a road leader, and he said, you can go to school on that day and be a lawyer. And Leroy was telling me, you know, the plan. And I thought, well, praise God, in a suit, you know, being real straight and standing for justice. You know, but he did say, maybe the kids will laugh at me, Mom. I said, well, if you want to go to school in a suit, that's good. You know, if you want to be a lawyer, that's good. They'll laugh at you and you can laugh at them back. But I said it before, and I guess I want to say it again. In Psalm 70, I'm poor and needy, and if your judgment would be different for me than the open world school on Halloween, then whatever I'm going to allow you to do, I'll just say, well, there's only one Christian parent and not two. And I can only handle so much. And I need all the help I can get with my kids. And I take responsibility for my kids. And I work with them. And I'm really, really happy that Kenny is fulfilling his role as big brother. And it was upon Kenny to be concerned for his wife. And he knew about Halloween. No. The objection about it, and he had a solution to Leroy. And Leroy still needs prayer. You know, about that day and now about that day. This morning, I was a little late, we were in the car, and I was saying, you have to put on your coat. And he was resisting. He was resisting me for putting on his coat. I said, well, if you don't put on your coat, we'll just stay here 2 hours. You know, and then he came into what I needed him to do. But part of the reason was, they'll think I'm stupid. He had his big red coat, and because it's big, he says, they'll think I'm stupid. I said, they're Christian people, and they won't think they're stupid. You know, but what other people think is important to Leroy. He's at that age, and it has power over him. I thank God for this church that I'm here. I'm glad there's a lot of other little kids here. And the Word of God is lifted up. I'm glad that they're all there. And I love them all.
Amen. Anybody else? Sandy?
Since the September 11th happening, I, by the grace of God, felt a peace about it until this week. You know, I just Monday night, I believe it was, sort of an anxiousness with more things coming up. And so Brian and I were talking about it because, you know, it doesn't feel good. And I tell this guy, And we're talking about the Passover lamb and the blood of the lamb. And it was just so beautiful that night. Sort of like how you're half sleeping, dreaming at the same time, kind of. But the song just kept going through my mind. I'm under the blood of the lamb, safe and secure from the enemy's plan. No weapon formed against me shall stand. And it just kept going through and through. And I felt woke with such peace in the morning. And then I was trying to tell kids what the song was, and I couldn't think of the words then. But all through the night, they were just there. It was just a beautiful peace that God gave me through.
Amen. Anybody else?
That's a good picture of the Comforter. What Christ said, he wouldn't leave us comfortless. He gave us the Comforter. And that Comforter rested around you that night and reassured you all night long. I mean, that's what a beautiful, beautiful picture of the reality of that. That is, you know, I mean, that's what he does for us. That's what he does with us. That's what he does to us. You know, it's beautiful.
Sherry?
I just want to praise the Lord tonight that he has given us the blessed hope.
Hallelujah.
Each one of us are needy people. I think of my dad, who's a double amputee, that he'll have a new body. I think of Seth and his limitations, and he'll be made whole. And then I start thinking, you know, my dad physically is not whole, and other people might not be mentally whole, but we don't know how needy we are, each one of us. We might know a little bit. Each one of us has sorrow. And Christ put you there to wipe away our tears. And I don't think we will fully know until we are there about what Christ sacrificed on the cross. And then I think about my grandparents on both sides of the family. My mother and father's side are Christians. Born again, Pentecostal, Bible-believing Christians. Grandma that I had never met. She died before I was born. But then I have three grandparents that I do feel lonesome for. And there's so many Christian people that help me. In Sunday school, just a word here or there, that I'll be there to fellowship and worship at Christ's feet. There's our eyes will be open fully to God's compassion and how He led evil into our lives. It's just unfathomable.
Yes. Amen. Anybody else?
Mark? I have started college, and I just want to say I'm happy that I'm going there. I went to public school my entire life, and I was never, I mean, there were five or six other Christians, and they were my friends, but I never understood. I mean, I'm going to this Christian college, North Central. It's like this complete change of lifestyle from when I went to high school and elementary to going to college, and I love it. I love being there. I love having people all around you that believe the same way you do. I like having chapel every day. And I just like, I don't know. It's been really a blessing to me. And also at the same time, it's really tried my faith too. I've found a lot of people that I've had arguments about. I know in the school. But I'm learning and I'm really enjoying it.
Anybody else? Enjoyed that time. Thank you, Pastor Craig, for the message and the encouragement and the rest of your testimonies. And I promise we're going to spend some time in prayer tonight, and we are going to do that. So we're just going to sing a little bit, and then we're going to pray. And if you want to hang around and sing some more, that's fine. Okay? But I promise we're going to spend some time in prayer tonight, so that's what we're going to do. Down.
To apply to the door of our lives. Hallelujah. Oh, the blood of the Passover lamb is applied to the door of my life. No power of darkness could ever withstand the force of the blood sacrifice. Though Satan will bring accusations, I let him know right where I stand. For now there is no condemnation. I'm under the blood of the Lamb. I'm under the blood of the Lamb that covers the guilt of my past. By the mercy of God, holy and righteous I stand. I'm under the blood of the Lamb. I'm safe and secure from the enemy's plan. No weapon formed against me will stand. I'm under the blood of the Lamb.
Take it from the top again.
Oh, the blood of the Passover Lamb is applied to the door of my life. No power of darkness could ever withstand the force of the blood sacrifice. Though Satan may bring accusations, I let him know right where I stand.
Yes, Jesus.
For now there is no condemnation. I'm under the blood of the Lamb. I'm under the blood of the Lamb that covers the guilt of my past. By the mercy of God, holy and righteous I stand. I'm under the blood of the Lamb. I'm safe and secure from the enemy's plan. No weapon formed against me will stand. I'm under the blood of the Lamb. I'm under the blood of the Lamb that covers the guilt of my past. By the mercy of God, holy and righteous I stand. Thank you, Lord. I'm under the blood of the Lamb. I'm safe and secure from the enemy's plan. No weapon formed against me will stand. I'm under the blood of the Lamb. No weapon formed against me will stand. I'm under the blood of the Lamb. No weapon formed against me will stand. I'm under the blood of the Lamb.
Lord, you are a refuge. Lord, you cover us there with your hand.
We are under the blood of thy mercy, God. We can stand before you.
Lord, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. Lord, we don't deserve it. But Lord, we thank you for it. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We are forgiven. We are righteous. We are holy. We are justified.
The greatness of
His mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. We cry, holy, holy, holy,
holy.
We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. Is the Lamb. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, 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 holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. Is the Lamb.
You are holy, God. We praise you, Lord. You are worthy, God. Holy. You are holy, Lord. Holy.
Jesus, holy and anointed one, Jesus.
Yes, Jesus.
Exalted One, Jesus,
oh, oh
Jesus,
Jesus,
anointed. Jesus, Jesus,
oh, we praise you, God. We lift you high,
risen and exalted. Spirit's like water to my soul. Your Spirit is the lamp unto my feet. Jesus, I love you. I love you.
Jesus.
Call you to a time of prayer tonight from 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. Four things required of us. Remember what they were? Humble ourselves, pray, seek God's face, turn from our wicked ways. I want to challenge you today, tonight, to spend 5 minutes in prayer, extend that. Go 10. You know, if you stop and think about some different categories, it's easy to spend more time in prayer. If you could spend some time worshiping the Lord, just for who he is and what he is. If you spend some time in confession, confessing your sins, the sins of our nation. If you spend some time in supplication, those are for your own needs, praying for the needs in your life and your family. And then if you spend some time in intercession, praying for the needs of others, look on the backboard, pray for our missionaries. If you spend some time then praising the Lord and thanking him for what he's done, how he's blessed you, what he's given you. You know, those are five things. If you spend 5 minutes of prayer in each one, that's 25 minutes. And there's other things that you can pray about. But that's a pretty good start. So I'm going to ask you to find a place of prayer tonight and just get alone with God and humble yourself, first of all, and then pray. And I mean really pray. And if you want to use the names of God, this is a great time to do it as you're worshiping him. Just rehearse his names and pray his names to him. If you like to open your Bible and pray scriptures, all those things will make your prayer time that much better. So I want to encourage you to just go a little bit longer than you usually do tonight and spend some time in prayer here this evening.